Well, welcome again. We are in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, and is the beginning of the story of Abraham and Sarah as they go on a great journey of faith. And we too are going to go on a journey of faith as we follow in their footsteps this summer. Beginning in verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth out from the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we are going on a journey of faith with Abram and Sarah. How many people have taken a vacation trip so far this summer? Anybody? Any vacation people so far? How many people have a vacation planned in the near future? Okay. How many people do maps and atlases still? Yeah, a few. A few of you are out there. How many people are more of the GPS people? Oh, thank God for GPS. Savannah and I just came back from Florida, and it was a great trip. But I love GPS because you can sort of decide, hey, we're going to go on this little trip over here, and it just keeps recalculating, rerouting to get you back on the right road. And if there's a traffic jam, you know, it tells you there's a traffic jam and there's a better way to go ahead. I even have an app that tells me if there's a pothole coming up. Even more importantly, if you need to stop at Starbucks, you can, you know, hit the microphone and say, locate Starbucks, and it will do that. And if you need a Dunkin' detour, you can hit in Dunkin' Donuts, and bam, you're there for a little bit of a sugar boost with some donuts and Dunkin' coffee. So I love the GPS. Don't you wish that our journey of faith was that easy? Don't you wish that you could have a little GPS and you knew exactly how long it was going to take to get to your destination, and if you need a little break, you just punch it in, and if something happens, you know, you could see it rerouting and you knew that there was a traffic jam coming up. Faith in life would be so much easier that way. But the truth is, it's not that way. And we see that very clearly in the journey of faith of Abraham and Sarah. And so I think it's interesting as we look at their journey of faith, we can see our own journey of faith. Abraham and Sarah did not have a GPS. And God calls Abraham and calls Sarah to a journey of faith, a place where they'd never seen before and probably didn't hear that much about. And God challenges them to a journey of faith. And along that journey of faith, God promises to be with them, but God promises to change their life, to give them a new nation, a new family, a new baby, a new city, and so change was on the horizon. And so I want us to think about our own lives and the journey of faith that we take. And so this morning we take the first step of faith, which is never easy. And so the first thing is that you're never too old, and you're also never too young. I think sometimes the too young is easier because we think when we're young, we know when we're young. We can sort of set out on an adventure, right? And we're ready to do new things. But when we're older, we sort of, you know, start to rest a little easier and change is a little harder. And here's something interesting that we don't often think of, it is that at the start of the journey, Abraham was 75. Sarah was roughly a decade behind him at 65. Now, 75 and 65 to start out on a journey is pretty adventurous and bold. So when they started this journey, they were up in years. Now, oftentimes, it can be difficult to take a step of faith when we're young, and we're never too young to take a step of faith. I'm delighted to hear the stories of the young people and the impact that youth camp had on their lives. And we think of young people, we think of the spirit of adventure and doing new things. as you get older, it's a little harder to do new things. So sometimes it's even harder, even though you have more experience. And so God was challenging Abraham and Sarah to take a step of faith, Abraham at 75. And when you do that, when you take a step like that, it requires some change, doesn't it? And change is never easy. In fact, it's interesting. I was going through the internet this week, and I saw this on changing light bulbs for the different religious denominations. And I just want to share that as kind of a little humor this morning. And so how many Calvinists does it take to change a light bulb? None. If God has predestined the light bulbs to be changed, they will be changed. All right. How many Anglo-Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? None. They always use candles. All right, so we'll switch gears here. There's actually three answers for how many charismatics it takes to change a light bulb, I guess depending on the group or the gift. So how many charismatics does it take to change a light bulb? First answer, one, since his hands are already in the air. Okay, I like that. Three, one to cast it out and two to catch it when it falls. Kind of like, you know, the old tent meeting thing. 21, one to change it and 20 to share the experience. I like that. How many atheists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but they were still in darkness. Come on. How many Pentecostals, it's just in fun. How many Pentecostals does it take to change a light bulb? 10, one to change it and 9 others to pray against the spirit of darkness. How many TV evangelists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but if you want the hope to continue, you need to send in your donation today. How many campfire worship leaders does it take to change a light bulb? One, but soon all will warm up to its glowing. You know, the contemporary service got that. Okay, we need to do that song now and then. All right. How many independent Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Only one. Any more than that, you're considered ecumenical. How many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? 10. One to change it and 9 to say how much they like the old one. I got some closet Episcopalians out there, I know that. I like this one. How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? Well, it should take about 5 committees, and if you have a half dozen people on each committee, that's around 30. I know we have some closet Presbyterians out there. How many Church of Christ members does it take to change a light bulb? 5, one to change the bulb, and 4 to serve refreshments. I like that one. And finally, last but not least, how many Church of the Brethren does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Did someone say change? Yeah, so I'll let you decide at brunch which we're closest to. We're actually a pretty diverse congregation, so I think we have a little bit of all of that. But if you think about it, taking a step of faith involves change. And sometimes when we're old or we're just sort of settled in our ways, it's hard to make a change. And so God was telling Abraham that he was going to change his location. He's going to change his city. He's going to change his name down the road. I mean, think about it. The change was so great. He was going to change his name from Abram to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. And so the change was great. And so you're never too old for a change when you take a step of faith. But that is the next important thing, is that you do take a step of faith. I mean, someone once profoundly said that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Now, here's something that's interesting. Abraham and Sarah's journey was over 1,000 miles. It was at least 1,000 miles, and that just didn't even get them all the way there. They hadn't even gone to Egypt. But you need to take a step of faith. And here's how the writer of Hebrews puts it, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I think that's a great definition of faith. In other words, we sort of see with eyes of faith what we could not see otherwise. It's like we could see in the darkness somehow, or we could see what's not there in the light. But then he goes on, and I rather like this. It says in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. Now, isn't that a great picture of faith? Not knowing where he was going. Have you ever been called someplace that God has called you to a place where you were not knowing where you were going? Maybe it was a new job. Maybe it was a new location. Maybe it was a new ministry. Maybe it was a new way to use your gifts and talents. But you had to take a step of faith, not knowing where you were going. And it's amazing because over this past week, as we celebrated the 4th of July and Independence Day, I was thinking about what a great step of faith our forefathers and foremothers took. I mean, not just in the Revolution, certainly that took a step of faith, but just think about it. Sometimes they faced famine back home, and some people just wanted a place where they could worship as they wished, and they got on a boat, which most of them had never been on a boat before, sailed across the sea that was uncharted, basically, and they went to a land that they had never set foot in ever before, many of them without any sort of financial resources or much of a plan other than to say they were going to a new place. And that's amazing. Many of them took the story of Abraham and Sarah with them as sort of a roadmap of faith, what it would be like to go to a new country with the promise that God was somehow going to take them to a place where they could worship with freedom. Now, I know there's other reasons as well. There were financial reasons in many cases, but many people came with the simple idea that they would take a step of faith and to go to a place where they had the opportunity to worship as they wished, to worship their Lord and to allow God to bless them. And I think that's an amazing step of faith, and it reminds us of that. Well, later this month, we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary on July 20th of the first step of man on the moon, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. Of course, that's a long way from Abraham and Sarah. But we think about that moment, and it's interesting when we think about that one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. And everybody talks about that first step onto the moon and all that that meant. But in the hours prior to that, when the lunar lander was on the Sea of Tranquility and they had asked the astronauts to take a few hours and rest because doing all the maneuvers and all the anxiety and stress that it takes and being in space too caused a lot of energy to be depleted. And so they asked the astronauts to rest for a few hours. Of course, the astronauts knew ahead of time that they would have that time. And it's interesting because Buzz Aldrin asked for permission from NASA to take on a set of Holy Communion so that he could celebrate communion on the moon. And so in those hours prior to that, it wasn't televised on national TV because they thought perhaps it would cause a bit of a controversy, but Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin asked the people back in Houston to take a few moments of quiet reflection for their Creator and the God whom they knew while they also did the same thing. And in those quiet moments, they open up the communion set, and Buzz Aldrin, who was a elder in the Presbyterian Church, celebrated communion, and Neil Armstrong with them as they prayed together. And they believe that that gave them the strength spiritually as they rested physically to take the step of faith and the step that would be recorded for all humanity as they took that one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. And so whether it's Abraham and Sarah taking a step of faith along the river, which would take them 1,000 miles to a place they'd never been before, or our forefathers and foremothers sort of taking a step onto a boat, taking a journey across the sea, and then taking a step of faith on Ellis Island or wherever they came as immigrants, and believing that God was going to lead them and guide them, or Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin in the lunar lander on the Sea of Tranquility before taking that first step of faith, which it really was a step of faith. God can strengthen us with prayer, and God can lead us in that step. Then finally, it takes trust when you boil it all down. And someone once said, and I rather like this, where God guides, God will provide. Where God guides, God provides. And I don't know where God may be stretching you in your life, and maybe it's developing a new gift or talent, and maybe it's taking a step in a new job or a new opportunity, a new relationship, or just seeing your way through without an old relationship. But where God guides, God provides. God was calling Abraham and Sarah to a new country they'd never been to, a new home, a new city, a new baby was going to be on the way. I mean, how big of a step of faith was that at 75 and 65? And so God was calling them to bless them that they could be a blessing to others. And I think many times in our own life, God stretches us and God wants us to take a step of faith too. Now, it wasn't just in the Old Testament. Should have moved the clock forward to Jesus with Peter when Jesus called Peter. And I want to close with this thought. Jesus goes to Peter and He wants to teach the crowds on the shore. And so Jesus asked permission to step into Peter's boat. And he tells Peter and the disciples with him to go a little ways from shore. And then Jesus begins to teach to the crowd that's there. And then after he's done teaching, he turns to Peter, and we're told that the disciples had fished all night and had caught nothing. And at night was the best time to fish during that time of the year, and so he turns to Peter and tells Peter to launch out into the deep and to cast his nets there. And I think that's a great imagery of faith, isn't it? It may not be a step, but launching out into the deep is a step of faith. Would you agree? And so Jesus tells Peter to cast his nets on the other side of the boat. Now, Peter, of course, was a fisherman, and Jesus was not. But Peter believed Jesus, and when Peter and James did that, they threw their nets into the water. All of a sudden, they had an incredible catch of fish, so much so they had to call their friends in another boat to come and help them. And then when they struggled to get that catch ashore, why, then Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me. Take a step of faith, and I will make you fishers of men. So wherever you are today in your journey of faith, and all of life is a journey of faith, and sometimes we think it's just one moment, but it's full of moments that are significant and powerful and even sometimes epiphanies, but the truth is that all of life is a journey of faith. So wherever you are this morning, where is God calling you to take a step of faith? Where is God calling you to stretch you? You're never too old, you're never too young for God to call you. Maybe it's a new area of ministry. Maybe it's a new level of giving. Maybe it's a new way of interacting with your neighbors in a way that shows Christ's love. And maybe it's a new area in a job where you can touch other people's lives. Whatever it is, know that God will be faithful to you just like he was to Abraham and Sarah. And God will lead you and guide you. True, we won't have a GPS, unfortunately, because I like that too. You can stop for Dunkin' and Starbucks now and then, but you're not going to know what's around the next corner. But be sure of this, that God, just like he did for Abraham and Sarah, will guide you and I along the journey of faith, and we can grow if we put our hearts and lives into the hands of the Lord Almighty. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we come to you today, this morning, knowing that many times that you pull on us through life and ask us to take a step of faith. And as we do, you always prove that you are faithful to us. And so this morning, help each of us to find that next step of faith. Wherever we are in our lives, help us to trust you, knowing that you will be faithful to us. And help us to grow deeper in faith and love as we love and serve you and others. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.